So let me make one comment as a Ha'ara, two comments as a Ha'ara from last time. We've been trying to chart where the chiyuv of Geneva of Aveda falls between these two poles that we set up last time. One paradigm being the model of Poshea Kemazik. And I mean that in the broad sense to mean that the liability of the Shomer is because of his breach of Shmirah, right? That constitutes a kind of Nezek. The other pole being the paradigm of Achrayus, where the liability of the Shomer doesn't relate at all to a primary duty of breach Shmirah, but rather to this insurance company paradigm, where the Shomer accepts the duty, accepts responsibility to pay for anything that happens to the object. Right, those are the two paradigms. Shoel Chayiv Ba'Onsin arguably being a possible paradigm for a pure Chiyuv Achrayus with no Chiyuv Shomer, no Chiyuv Shmirah. We saw actually the Rav Elchanan thought that Rashi holds this, right? Just that Shoel is a pure Chiyuv Achrayus with no duty of Shmirah. And the other paradigm being the literal Poshea Kemazik of a Shomer Chinam, which is that like there's real Nezek going on through your lack of Shmirah. And the question is, how do we conceptualize Geneva Aveda in between? Now, here we have this diuk in the different formulations between the Ralbag and the Rambam in the Mora. The Ralbag was very clear that Geneva Aveda are considered onsim, albeit onsim ktanim, relative to Shvura, Shvuya, Umesa, which are onsim gedolim. Now, I think this is just a neat way of thinking about this. To my mind, it sounds like if you hold that Geneva v'Aveda are onsin, then you're thinking in terms of a paradigm of Chiyuv Achrayus for them. Because it doesn't make sense to speak of an ones, but to also speak of a breach of a duty of Shmirah. Does that resonate with you guys? I think that's just a conceptually more elegant way of thinking of things. Ones by definition means that there's no deficiency in the Shmirah. And so the liability on that paradigm, in the Ralbag's paradigm for Geneva Aveda, has got to be some form of Chiyuv Achrayus. Same for Tosvos in Bava Kamma Chav Zayin, who interpreted Geneva Aveda as being different forms of ones. There's ones karv lepshia, then there's ones karov le-ones. And again, it sounds like there the paradigm should be Chiyuv Achrayus. My diak in the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim is that the Rambam thinks that the liability for Geneva Aveda arises from a deficiency in Shmirah, and that's why the Shomer Sachar has to pay for Geneva Aveda. To me, that rings or that sounds as a pr that sounds like a principle of Pshia, right? Because there's a deficiency in the Shmirah. Everyone good so far with that paradigm? Yeah. So I just want to add, so one makar here, which I think works in nicely. This Tosfos on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Don't worry, we'll have a chance to look at this in greater depth later on. The Ri has a shita that kivan shechayiv akosiv shomer sachar b'gneva, v'stam gneva krova l'ones. Could I mean about Shoel? You can see Tosfos always leans into that Gemara, how the Gemara classifies gneva. Svarahu divchol inyan shetia hagneva yischayiv migzeres akosiv afilu b'ones gamor. So Tosfos thinks that even if a geneva occurs as an ones gamor, the shomer sachar will be chayav for it. So even though it's geneva, if it occurs under circumstances that look like an ones gamor, we're going to hold the shomer sachar chayav. To my mind, that works very nicely with Tosfos l'shitaso, Tosfos saying Bava Kamma Chav Zayin, because once you hold that geneva is conceptually a form of ones, and the reason why the Shomer Sachar is liable is because he accepts Achrayus for Geneva, then it makes sense to say that he could also be chayiv for genevas that are be'ones gamur. Because the whole Tosas on Tosas's paradigm, we can see that geneva is a form of ones. It's just a form of ones that the shomer accepts responsibility for or is deemed to be liable for, not in the chiv shmira sense, but in the duty to pay sense. In which case, it seems totally kosher to say, well, a geneva ba'ones falls under the description of things for which, you know, the insurance company is liable, if it's liable for geneva. Ones is beside the point. Does everybody get the, does everybody see that? Why Tosos works out nicely with Shitaso? Okay, good. Thoughts on this Diak and Tosos? Is that fine?
If we're saying that, what is Onis Kar of Lipshia? We're saying that Onis Kar of Lipshia is not in the Pshia camp.
Exactly.
The fact that he chose to formulate it that way seemed like, maybe there's no other better way to formulate it, but like, why categorize Onis in, why, like, what's the advantage to distinguishing even within the world of Onis? If we're just going to say that Onis is something that the Shomer Sachar accepts achrayas for.
It could be that it's just a hermeneutic. I don't want to conflate my heuristics with my hermeneutic. Yeah, it's just a hermeneutic, meaning it's just a principle for deriving which cases the Shomer Sachar is chayav for. But conceptually, once we're able to, the Gemara is saying, hey, we know he's chayav for geneva, then Alachas Kamas, if geneva falls under a description of ones and he's chayav, then of course Aveda is going to fall under a description of ones for which he's chayav, because it's ones karv lipshia. So it's really just about deriving the principles, but there's no substantive difference once we have the principles between the chiyuv shomer sachar da aveda and chiyuv de geneva.
I like that. I think Cole was upset by your human hermeneutic usage, but it works with me.
Good. Okay, then I wanted to make one other just point here. We also spoke about this paradigm of ownership. To what extent is the paradigm of ownership relevant for thinking of Shomrim? So Rav Lichtenstein gave us the example based off this Rashba, that when it comes to a Shoel, Ukma Rachmana Bershuse Legamri Ki Ilu Hishalo. And Rav Lichtenstein said, oh, that speaks to this paradigm of ownership, that Onsen track the owner. One of the meta themes that we've been seeing throughout this Zman is this question of like how we think of ownership, right? This bundle of rights conception where it just means certain incidents are applied to one person rather than to another. So I'm curious here how helpful the paradigm of ownership is going to be. We'll see all the time. We'll see this later on in the Zman. Is a socher kan, is schiras kanya, right? Is a shoel considered to be a bailin? And I'm interested in the analysis of what's meant by those statements, right? What do we mean when we say a shoel is bailin? Do we mean that he has certain incidents that usually belong to the owner? Are we saying that there's some category in halacha called the owner, which is relevant for certain things, and that's what we're after? So to my mind, we have this methodological hurdle, which is when we say that the liability of the shoel flows from his being bailim, on what ground are we antecedently viewing him as the bailim, such that we can just say that the liability flows from that antecedent legal status, as opposed to just saying, like the way I was reading the Rashba on Tuesday, which is we're viewing him as bailim with respect to assigning the stick of the bundle of liability of ownership to him. So it's not that he has some antecedent status of owner from which the liability stick of ownership flows, but rather when we say that the shoel is ki'ilu bailim, that's just circumlocution for saying that he's liable for own sin as if he's an owner, right? Not that there's some antecedent legal status that explains why he's chayav own sin. Does everybody see the difference between those two formulations? One of them is saying that the chiyav achrayus of a shoel flows from his status of being an owner, and the other is just saying like we make him, the sense in which we view him as a bialim is just the sense, is just the sense in which we assign liability to him for own sin. Not that there's
the second one where you're strawmanning here. The first one's false because he's a shoel and not an owner, and everything is itself and not another thing, as Bishop Butler said.
Okay, so good. But Rav Chaim seems
to mean the second thing is correct.
Okay, good. I agree. I like that. I think the second thing is more correct. That's right. But in the Rav Chaim seems to
argue that because you put it second, and nobody ever puts the one they like first.
Right. But, you know, for my father, it's usually the third, right? It's like there's technical approach.
That's another way in which he's an anti-Straussian. A Straussian will always put his in the middle, and your father, but your father's a Hegelian. He has the thesis in, and then they
come together. Right, that's good. So I saw in Rav Lichtenstein's formulation, he said there's a principle of liability in Shomrim, which flows from the idea of Kenyan. And he said like this, there's this Yesod HaKenyan Yishol Gazlan, B'nigud L'shar Shomrim, Shagam Kasher Chevetz Bershusam Shaychuto HaMamonit Hi Labailim, HaShoel Mamish Kone Es HaChevetz L'zman Mesuyam. Sorry, it's Mesuyam. Memela, by extension, right? Notes are klap of Yesod HaChiv Shel Kenyanim, You see, that makes it sound like the liability rule derives from this antecedent status of viewing the shoel as bialim. Do you agree with that reading, Cole?
Yeah, sure.
Right. You just don't like you, but you agree that it's going to be problematic, right?
The what's going to be problematic?
I mean, I'm just pointing out that in the Rav Lichtenstein piece, he seems to be grounding the liability of onsen for a shoel,
just
a principle that mirrors principles of bialim. It actually flows from the ontology of a shoel.
Because owning underdetermines is just too broad, it won't be helpful.
Yeah, so that's my view. Yeah, okay. I think Evan. I think Zacharia. Since there is Evan and Zacharia, it's an interesting question. They were separate yesterday, but they were separate on Tuesday, but together today. Right? Do we individuate the credit? But Evan and Zacharia were suggesting last Chabura that maybe there really is some independent explanatory power to the ownership paradigm. Right.
I mean, features of it have independent explanatory power. We just have to isolate the features of it that have I think the Ralbag does a nice job, by the way, of doing that.
Good. So let me draw attention to the Ralbag. So in the Rashba, I thought the reading, you know, the Rashba's formulation wasn't so clear, right? It was just kivan shekolana shelo ukema rachmana bershusei legamri kiilu hishelo.
Oh, actually, that's what I was thinking. I was confused. Oh, I actually meant the Rashba.
Okay. But I think the Rashba
also puts them on the spectrum, doesn't he?
Well, I think the Rashba could be read as, you know, Shnei Dvarim Bershuso Shaladam Asa Makasa Bershuso Kilein Bershuso. You know, it's a way of assigning life. It's just a liability rule that's assigned. You know,
he also explains.
What? One second. The Ralbag, I just wanted to point out, has a similar idea. In the case of Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon, so this is a shomer who breaches his duty and uses the chefetz in a way he wasn't supposed to. B'shomer Shechina, B'shomer Sachar, Sheshulchu Yad B'Pikadon, Neschayvu B'chola Onsen. Why? So he says, V'sibas Zeh, this is why the Ralbag is so great, Ki kvar shav hadavar hachu lios lahem, V'neschayvu l'shalim kamohu l'baylim. So, The reason is because once you're Shaleach Yad, it's like you attain some sort of title.
Is that just like, is that Kenyan Exela?
Something like that. That's right. Husha Shaleach Yada Lishtamish Bipikadam Ki Ilu Haya Shalo Kine Kinao Meha Esahu. Again, this could also be a legal rule. It's hard to know. But he thinks that there's something about Shlichus Yad which makes the Shomer as if he's a Bailim. And Memela, he's going to be Chayiv for Achrayas Onsen. So this paradigm of Bailus does come up in a few cases. But I think we should just be discerning to try to figure out the sense in which Bailus is doing explanatory work to explain the liability rule, or if it's just like a nice melitza to characterize it. Okay, Dan, you have a hand?
Yeah, so two, both more focused on the Rashba. So the first is, how does Rav Lichtenstein make sense? The Rashba addresses why a shoel is putter in Mesa Masmach Malacha, but how can we make that work with Rav Lichtenstein's like conception of, if it's my cow now, even if it dies plowing, it's, I have a chayus for that presumably.
Yes, so our good friend the Ralbag helps us on that also. Anybody see this Ralbag? I added to the source sheet. I thought it was pretty cool. It's always worthwhile just reading through Ralbags, unless it relates to astrology, then don't start. Don't waste your time. But if it has to do with like rules of Nezikin, usually he's on point. So look at the Ralbag said, and I thought this was helpful. I think I transcribed it.
This on the Ralbag La Torah.
Yeah. Good luck reading through the, Mochamos. The other Mochamos.
Mochamos Neged Hashem.
Right, they call it. So the Rabag here writes, I thought this is really good. Here. V'hasho'el chai b'chol onsen. Let me make this a little bigger for everyone. V'hasho'el chai b'chol onsen. Blah, blah, blah. I messed up in transcribing it. He says that your putter, if it's nishbar hakli machmas malacha, sheshalos alaha, bizulas pshia, putter. Right? If you borrow the kli and it was mesa machmas malacha with the malacha that you borrowed it for, your putter. Shari also zebr shos bailin. I think the point here at Din is that, like, there's
Zeres HaKasev.
What?
Just like Zeres HaKasev, that like.
No, not Zeres HaKasev. It's considered like you have an implicit waiver. You have consent of the Bailim to use it for this purpose. So it's like they're being mochel you on. It's like considered you've done it's Bereshus, right? It's like they're being mochel you for the harm that arises from the permissible use of the thing.
But isn't, I was saying, if we want to take the Rav Lichtenstein's full total ownership model, like, what does that mean? There's a mechila of the guy who doesn't, it's my cow now. Like, what is, it seems to me that if I'm the owner, it means at the moment I take ownership, I have total achrayus on the object.
But I think you have to view it as like a separate agreement, right? It's like, what does that mean that you're the owner? The owner is that like you're fully responsible. You can do whatever you want with it, but you have to give it back, right? As you got it or something. But the point here is that there's some specific mechila he's getting at. Like the Gemara Bava Kama uses mazik bershus as like a case where somebody asks you to harm them. So I say, Adin, please rip my suit, right? That's considered mazik bershus. So that, I think the idea that the Rabag is drawing on is, in the case of machmas malacha, you have permission to be mazik it in that way. And so the Bailam is mochel on any liability that you would have from that.
Okay, that makes sense. And so the other point was on that.
Well, by the way, we'll talk about Mesa Machmas Malacha separately.
So that Rashba, like there's, I think you could be medayik both ways in the Rashba. Like it seems like it has echoes of the Mora in terms of like, I think I was like mentioned the other day about like the exchange of Hana'a for liability. It's like he said that like the reason, but then you could also the opposite way that like it becomes, it's asa hakato, so it's not real ownership or anything like that. It's just that like it's the decision the halacha tried to make, but the the motivating idea of your ownership sticks or whatever you want to call it is the fact that you are gaining the monetary benefit from this item, and like viewing those two things for a show well is very much in tandem, I think, runs through this Rashba.
Yeah, the Kiwan Chakla Nasha La Ukmaraf Manaver Shuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's good. Gabe and Yakir, did you guys want to add thoughts on the COVID Shurim? Because I saw you, since you were hunting for it this morning, did you want to add Haros on it before we move on, or?
We didn't actually get there.
Fair enough. So I want to talk about, I want to make one more ha'ara from a Gemara we're about to see. I'll save our longer discussion of it for them. But I want to mention it now as we're discussing the Gneva Aveda discussion, whether that's Ones or Pshia. So if you had a chance to look at the Gemara in Sadi Gimel, did anybody get a chance to look at the Gemara in Sadi Gimel yet? Natre could a Natre entry discussion? Is that a yes? No? Somebody? Okay. Some? So the Gemara seems to say that the standard of Shmira for a Shomer Sachar is just like literally the standard of what most people do, or what normal people do for watching the object. Natre could a Natre entry. You do watch it in the way that most people watch this thing. Literally like the normal standard of care. What's interesting is that Rashi says, the Gemara tells a story, which we'll talk about in greater detail, which is Ahu Raya Dahave Karai Chiyusa Aguda Dinahar Papa. Shepherd, well, somebody else tell me. Anybody look at this story yet? Anybody know this story? Noah, did you see it yet?
Yeah, Z and I saw it, but a while ago. So Shepherd was shepherding animals on the bank of Nahar Papa, and one of them fell into the water and came to Rabbah, and Rabbah exempted him from paying the Baal animal. And he said basically, like, what should this guy have done? He was, you know, just doing normal Shmira.
Yeah. So it sounds like if all the Shomrim walk their animals on the banks of the river, or if all people normally walk their animals on the banks of the river in this way, and, you know, just poor Shomer that, as luck had it, one of his animals fell in, he's potter because he abided by the standard of care. Like, Natre could a Natre inchi. Is that clear to everybody? That's the case in the Gemara. What's really fascinating is Rashi's gloss on this. Look at Rashi says, Hanata kidinatri inchi, the ain aveda ella ones. So what do you make of this, Rashi?
Yeah, so like the fact that he did Shmira takes it away from the category of aveda and puts it into the category of ones.
That's right. I mean, the fact that he abided by the standard of care, the fact that he was natri kidinatri inchi, makes it the case that the animal slipping in is mugdar as ones rather than aveda, right, Noah? So I think this is a perfect foil for Tosvos and the Ralbag paradigm, and it's actually consistent with the Morna Vuchim paradigm, because Rashi seems to be saying that by definition, ones is what happens when there's no breach of Shmira duty. So we don't think, let me put it this way. If you're going to be chayev for Gneva Vaveda, there's gotta be some form of Pshia as defined by the breach of the standard of Shmira. Does everybody see that? If there's no breach, if there's no pshia, then you're in ones. You're in the ones land, a real ones, not ones de Gneva Vaveda. You're in like ones of own sin. In order to be chaya for Gneva Vaveda, there's got to be some pshia, some breach of the standard of Shmira. So I think that's a really helpful paradigm, because that brings Rashi into the way I was reading the Morna Buchim. Which is in order for a Shomer Sachar to be liable, there's got to be some Shia. So that's the Poincaré-Kimazic paradigm. Whereas Tosos seem to be going in the other direction, that you could have chiyuv for gneva aveda, even when they're considered omsin, which is the Kabbalah Sachraya's paradigm. Does that make sense? Paros on this, thoughts? I think it's a clean reading of Rashi.
What would the Tosos paradigm read of this Gemara be?
How would Tosos read the Natri Kedinatri Inchi?
Yeah.
I think you could still say that so flesh out your question for me out here a little bit.
I don't know if I'm not like in this sugya enough to flesh it out, but I'm just curious. Like you're making a deal for Rashi, I'm just curious like what was the alternative? Like if Rashi really believed in the Tosos Rabag paradigm, what would he have written instead of what he wrote?
Would he be putter for Natri Kedinatri Inchi? I think you could say that the Kabbalah Sachrayis just doesn't apply when a certain standard of Shmira is met. Or that, yeah. Is that a problem, Yekir?
Okay.
Not sure I fully understand your question. You're saying that there's you have to interpret this as being that it's not an onus. I think Tosus could say maybe it's a kind of let me think more about this. I don't know. I have to think exactly what the issue is. But hold off on that till we get to the sugi then, Yakir.
Yeah, sure.
My point is for Rashi though, you see he's defining onus as things that occur while the standard of Shmira is met.
Right.
And for something to not be an onus, there's got to be some breach in the standard of Shmira.
Right.
That's the deal here. Okay, good. Okay, so what I wanted to now take a closer look at is within this paradigm of Achrayis versus Poshea Kemazik, it sounds like you have a very clean nafgamina. The best way of saying this is there even a primary duty of Shmira on the Shomrim? Like, how do we characterize a Shomer? Is a Shomer first and foremost somebody who has a duty of Shmira, and then the liability only arises from that breach? Or is there a way to even bypass the chiyuv shmira altogether and just talk about liability? But I think that's like a nice way of looking for nafkamina between these two paradigms. So who had a chance to look at the ketoses on this, the important ketoses?
You put them up a bit late.
What's that called?
Put them up a bit late.
No, these ketoses have been around since the beginning of the week.
Nope.
No?
Promise.
At least one ketos is around.
Yeah, they were definitely there yesterday.
There you go. Definitely there yesterday, Cole.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Nope. No, Evan and I got a chance to see them.
Excellent. So why don't you take it away? So tell us the main issue with the ketos. What's his main point?
Do you want the context about halva or just like the poll?
Just the poll. Just you can talk about giving back the pikadon early. That's why it comes out.
Yeah. All right. So talking about paying back the loan early. When are you allowed to? When are you not? Let's say someone lends you money because they're concerned the currency will collapse or some other onus. So in that case, maybe you can't give back the payment early. They bring Shilti Gurim, who talks about I believe a chenvani case, where pretty much people would give money to some sort of middleman who will lend it beribis to non-Jews, And he says, oh, in that case, you know, since it's for the benefit of the Malveh, the Chavani can't return it early. But the Ketzos is swayed by a Tumim who says, one second, you're forgetting a basic halacha, which is that every Poel can renege at any stage. And these money managers, you know, they're
last year we spoke about Akili Bnei Yisrael Avadim, Blavadim Lavadim. That generated what Poel Achs are, right? So exactly. Why can't these Poelim, the Shomer, the Loveh, like why can't they just back out in the middle based off the theory of Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim that a Poel could always terminate the agreement when he wants, right?
Yeah, exactly. So these poor money managers are actually humble laborers. And therefore, they should they should be able to back out.
Right.
Fine.
And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, who says that when it comes to pikadon, if hifkidu etzlo v'zman yedua, ein yachal lachricha lekavel toch zmana.
Yeah. So it seems the Shulchan Aruch says you can't give back a pikadon. The Magen Mishnah says you cannot. The Rav says you can't. And the Rashba asks the question of what's going on. Why can't you just say, listen, every shomer is just a poel. And every poll is allowed to renege at whatever stage they want.
Yeah. So that's the main question. The question is, how do you reconcile Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim Rishus Poel Lachzor rule with the rule that Shulchan Aruch paskins, which is that a shomer can't just terminate his shmira at will?
Yeah.
Right? So what does he say? So what's his answer?
He says, he says that these positions, the shmira ain't inyan lapoel, that a shomer is not a poel at all. It's only a poel who has this right to retract. Aval shmira du chiyuv v'shibud, she is chayev l'shalem, imi ganev o yovad, tofazman. So this thing, which is just an obligation to pay if certain consequences happen, and then he brings this kind of like graphic example. Im kein gam kishamach zero lamafkid, even if he actually does return it, he's still on the hook to pay for any consequence that happened in that time frame.
Yeah, so it sounds like what he wants to say is that Shomer has no status of a poel at all, right? And the way he gets there is by saying that Shmira is reducible to a pure Shibud Sheyeschayev L'Shalem. Is that right? Is that how you're reading it, Zachariah?
Yeah, pure insurance policy.
Yeah, so we could bypass the primary duty of Shmira altogether. Pretty wild ksos, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's even shocking. The next case is he's really clear. He really thinks there's no duty. So it's like, oh, and like the money managers, they can retract on their tearful side. Yeah, so these kind of chenvani, moneylenders, so they can retract on the torech pulaso of, you know, lending it out and whatever, but they're still on the hook for the shmira of the money for the entire time period.
Right.
So he's clearly like, oh, in another case, you know, there is a duty to guard, there is a duty to work and just a kabbalah chayas, and you can get rid of the, you know, the active duty and you still have the shmira. Which is clearly things that a shomer doesn't really have any active duties to guard whatsoever.
This is an interesting like pattern in the Ketzos that so in the Ketzos is a famous position about shtaros that they get their kinyan force from their edus force. He has another position about Eide Kiyum, that they're just all Eide Kiyum are just Eidim who are like Ra'oi Lehagadas Eidus. He likes the intervention. He thinks, the Ksos basically thinks, I think, that like remedy is the procedural law is like the way substantive law gets its force. I wonder if anybody's ever made this point. I mean, it's like a very counterintuitive thing that the Ketzos has about Haggadah Seder, but he has it here too. If the Ketzos can get rid of a substantive principle by just explaining it away with a remedial principle, he likes to do that. I don't know why, but it's an interesting commitment of his.
It's interesting. In this sugi, the way it comes out is like you would think that a shomer is primarily tasked with the primary duty of shmira, right? And then there's just a secondary thing of tashlumin.
But all it is tashlumin. The duty to remedy, given, yeah.
Yeah.
He like the ptos is about the primacy of the remedy. He is Mr. Public Law. Right, Shua? Is that what that means? I think it is.
I have no idea if that's what that means, but the primacy of the remedy, why would that be public law? I don't know. Sorry.
Isn't public law, like, isn't the public law, private law distinction, like, law that, you know, what's public law?
Hold on. Public law is usually sort of public policy stuff, like, but we don't have to.
All right, whatever. All right.
As opposed to, like, just.
Everything I said before then was Emma's.
Okay. Yeah, this is a really interesting sos. I think it's probably one of the strongest formulations that we'll see in characterizing Shomrim as having no primary duty of Shomrim.
By doing that, he also kind of removes the Baal HaBayis, Baal HaMamon. Like, it's almost like a Chafetza Gavra. Like your duty is to the item, it sounds like. And
where? Here he says, Shmira is Chiyah V'Shiba Shiyaskai V'Shalim.
So, like, but you have a chiyuv lishmor chelek hapikada. Like, I think it seems like by removing, like, the poel has, like, there's a personal relationship that can be severed by his duty to, by his, the poel's ability to be choser. But it's like you are now, like, you, whatever we want to call it, achrayas or whatever, but, like, you have now a relationship with this item that regardless of whether or not you want to maintain your personal, like, whatever antecedent relationship you had with the Baal HaMamon, like we said, even if you give it back, like if you put it back in his backyard, you're chayav on it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you.
But I would just say that I wouldn't characterize the distinction as like relationship with the chayfets versus with the bialim, because the duty to peg is a duty to bialim. Right?
I mean,
the real distinction, I think, is between the duty to watch and the duty to peg.
And yeah, I hear that.
Saying, right? For him, Poel characterizes the duty to watch, like the service that's owed. And he says that's non-existent when it comes to Shomrim. All there really is just this pure duty to pay. You see that again? That's why I think it's different.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Like, what you're saying is for sure true. And I thought I was seeing some focusing more on the chayfets, but you're right. But I'm focusing more on the second one of the chenvani, like the shmira shemekabel of lishmor chelak hapikadon, like that you can't get away from that. Duty.
That's unique to the case of the chat of the iska, because it has a pikadon dimension and an active dimension. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is pretty counterintuitive, right? Do you guys think this is intuitive or a little counterintuitive? The notion that that there's just a chiyuv achrayus in like all shomrim. I mean, does that sound right to you? Like you ask somebody to watch your stuff for you, and all that is a liability. There's no duty of shmira. Is that it's kind of counterintuitive, no? Gabe, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I agree that's counterintuitive. I'm also curious why the ksos need to go to this extreme. We could have gotten out of the poel problem by using a Kablanos model or thinking about other ways in which we can have a duty on the Shomer without calling that Poel and falling into the Tribunation of Adim.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Ktsos could have gotten out of this problem in a simpler way.
The measured deflection that calls out for systematic explanation along lines that I've proposed.
There you go.
You read the ktos on, I'm telling you, this is a, I'm now gonna like research this because like some academic has, I don't know if anybody has anybody read like the book about the ktos's jurisprudence. Maybe I should. It's like an interesting project. Itamar, do you know, does the ktos,
I think there's a guy in Israel who wrote on the ktos, but
like a mishpat ivri type,
yeah, something like that.
I wonder if he says this.
I don't remember his name at all. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah.
Look at this second ktos here. Simon Shin Zayin Aleph. The ktos makes a similar point, although in a different context. So what's the context here? He's interested in this he's less interested in this chus chazara. In Simon Shinzayin, he's interested in this question of when does a shomer become obligated in his duties? Like when does the duty, when does like the shame shomer kick in, or when does chiyuve shomer kick in? And it goes to machlokas rishonim whether you require mashicha in order to be liable for chiyuve shomer. So what's his argument here? How does he weigh in on that argument, and how does it tie into the other piece? Anybody remember? Who else had a chance to see it? No, you had a chance to ver it?
Yeah, we didn't look at it again today, but I think he basically goes through the Rishonim. I'm not sure, Z, do you remember if he had like a clear, read and clearly? He kind of pits them into parallel machloksim, which is like the Mashiach as effective in beginning the Malacha versus the like Bailim ceasing to do Shmira as beginning the Malacha.
Yeah, good. So he says there are two ways. Some Rishonim say that a Shomer only becomes a Shomer once he's Moshech the Chefetz, right? Yeah. And he says, that's very strange. But, and he says, other Rishonim say that you become a Shomer once there's Haskalas Malacha, which he says is just when the Bailim is Mesalik himself from the Shmira. Right, so it's like once the Bailam says it's yours, that's considered Haskalas Malacha of the Shomer. Haskalas Malacha, he says, is the Kenyan we know from Poelim, that a Poel becomes Chayiv Haskalas Malacha. So he says, why doesn't everyone agree that a Shomer becomes Chayiv Haskalas Malacha? That's kind of his background question. If we know that a Poel, like his contract is consummated through Haskalas Malacha, then if it's true for a poet, why isn't that also true for a shomer? So why is there even a view out there requiring Mashiachas HaChefetz? That's kind of the background. And he says, oh, well, you know, logically, it's possible that Mashiachas HaChefetz is just a form of Haskalas HaMalacha, but he doesn't like that, right? He thinks if you require Mashiachas HaChefetz to commence the Shmira relationship, then you're thinking that Haskalas HaMalacha is insufficient to generate the Chiyuvei Shmira.
Okay.
You see that? Everyone see that? So for example, the Ksos says, he quotes Tosvos, who holds that Achrayas HaShmira Nischayvu Shomrim Tekef Mishen Estalkwa Bailam Mishmira. You don't need a Kinyan for Tosvos. You just become a Shomer the moment the Bailam steps back. And he says the reason for this view is because that's din, he has a din poel. The misha eschilu b'malacha havilu kinyan. Shomer becomes chai b'askalas malacha, so you don't need to separate kinyan. Okay, hold off. I'll talk about this a little bit later. Then he quotes the Ramban, who says you need mashicha. And he says, why do you need Mashicha? Why isn't Haskalas Malacha itself sufficient? So here's the key line. Nirlan Yazdaiti, the Mashicha Mahani B'Shomer Chinah B'Shomer Sachar, Afagav Delo Kanu Shum Davar, even though they're not acquiring the object in Rem, right? It's not like the Shomer acquires the thing, at least not for Shomer Chinah and Shomer Sachar. Why? The Havaluhu Kinyan, Lehischayev al hachefetz ba'achrayis kol shomer kedino uchmogana v'gazlan dekanu lehischayev be'onsin michi mashchu. So his argument is that you need mishicha in order to trigger the hischayevus ba'achrayis. That's the argument, right? The kinyan has nothing to do with the Poel Chiyuv Shmira component. It has to do with the acceptance of the insurance policy. That's why Haskalas HaMalacha is insufficient, because this is not a Poel rule. It's a separate Hischaivus for Achrayus rule. Let me just make one more comment, and then I'll take hands. Aval Adas HaRambam, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to worry about that. He says, the Ramban the Ramban who thinks that you need Meshicha is Lishitaso, in that he thinks that the liability is generated by Pshia, by actually being deficient in Shmira. I'm not fully sure what he's trying to say in this point. Not sure which way I want to go here yet. But let me hold off on that point. Does everybody get the general idea that he's thinking the machlokas, whether you require meshicha, is going to turn on whether you think the shomer is just an application of dinei poel, who has like some sort of working obligation to like watch the item, in which case you don't require meshicha. But if you think that the poel, if you think that the shomer is mekabel achrayus, then you're going to require meshicha. This ktos is not as strong as the previous ktos, because there's nothing, he doesn't say that, I guess it might be implied. He doesn't say that if you're an achrayus person, then you deny that there's a chiyuv pu'ula to watch it. He doesn't say that explicitly. But it might be implied in his analysis, right? If you think that the dine shomrim only go into effect at meshicha, then you think there's no aspect of shomrim that goes into effect from aschalas hamalacha, right? Because there's no pure pu'ula aspect to the shomrim. So I don't know, it's worth thinking about that. But Adin, you had a hand, right?
Yeah, I wanted to try to resuscitate my focus on the chayfetz versus the baal by it, but I'm not. Especially with that next chunk with about the chiyuv mishach pshia, because pshia implies more of a duty to the owner or something like that. So I recant.
Well, okay. So in the last section here, the ktos thinks that this question of whether you require meshicha for shomrim is going to correlate to whether you think a shomer becomes chayiv mishas pshia or mishas meshicha. Anybody know how that goes? How does the correlation work? What's the argument?
Okay, so if you think, oh, never mind.
I don't know if it's correlated both ways or not, but certainly he's saying that if you think that the chiyuv is mishas pshia, then there is no independent insurance policy. There's nothing to be kona to begin with. And so the relationship must be a poel type relationship.
Yeah. That's right. But according to the Rambam, he says that a shomer is mishas meshicha hu dineskaibu. Then you're going to require meshicha in order to generate the chiyuv achrayus. See that in the last line? So he thinks that if you're a pshia person, then you're a poel person, but you're viewing the shomer as having a primary duty of shmira, because he has this, he's like a poel with respect to shmira. If you're a pure achrayus person, then you're gonna think that it's mishas meshicha hu dineskaivu, meaning the insurance policy goes into effect once there's meshicha on the chevetz, right? Totally independent of any pshia. So you see, the ksos here is actually, it's a very lumdisha idea. He's saying that pshia liability, the poshe kemazik paradigm, aligns with being a haschalas malacha person, whereas achrayus aligns with being a kinyan meshicha person. Everybody see that? Yeah? Is there some confusion about this still, or? Comments, thoughts on the ktos? Okay, everyone's good. Okay, now let me just make one other aura on the ktos here, which is pretty interesting. This is just for our later discussion, but let me just flag it now very quickly. He does offer this internal distinction between different kinds of shomrim. So the idea that we've been talking mashicha b'shom dafka b'shoel v'socher de kanu guf hadavar l'ditu mahani mashicha. Just an interesting thing to keep in mind about the property paradigm. Maybe some shomrim are viewed as having some sort of kinyan in rem on the chefetz. That's the paradigm that he thinks is shayach for schiros, socher, and shoel. But the shomer chinam, shomer sachar are deemed as not having any kinyan in rem. So it's interesting, to what extent is the property paradigm at work here? The Ktzos thinks that there's grounds to distinguish between Shoel and Socher on the one hand, and like the more Shomrim, Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam on the other. So just bear that in mind for something that we'll see later on. The other Diak, that's what I wanted to say in the Ktzos. The Machane Ephraim also suggests an internal distinction between different Shomrim, but within a different paradigm. So anybody want to tell us, any volunteers, to talk about the Machane Ephraim and Siman Yud Ches? Anybody who had a chance to see it? Gabe, you saw this
Machane Ephraim? Yeah, I think it's machalik between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. He thinks that a Shomer Sachar might be a form of Poel, but Shomer Chinam might not be. Yeah. I think the way here and I understood it is that that's a function of the level of achrayus that the Shomer Sachar has, that given that a Shomer Chinam can just sort of lock up the animal and be done with it, that doesn't constitute a kind of abdus or doesn't rise to the level of a polo, perhaps, but a Shomer Sachar who has to actively guard the animal might be considered a polo with the Kili B'nei Shal stipulation.
Yeah, great. The only formulation I would quibble with there is it's not the level of achrayus in the technical sense of like the ketosis sense of like the insurance policy achrayus. You just mean like the responsibility of shmira. Yeah, good. So the Machane, I think that's totally right. The Machane Ephraim here seems to be a real poel person, right? He conceptualizes the chiyuvei shomrim in terms of the primary duty of shmira. Is that right, Gabe? And he's very much on board for this issue. Of course, a poel should be able to be chozer. That's the whole nature of his analysis here. Shomer chinam v'shomer sachar shekibul lishmor midei midi lizman yedua imicholim lachzer toch hazman mishmirasam. Based on this idea of kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. So he's very much on board for this right to withdraw, view of conceptualizing the Shomer as a poel to watch. And then as Gabe says, he offers this internal distinction between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, acknowledging that both of them have a duty of Shmira, right? Both of them are like poel and to watch, but he's saying one of them is almost, it's like one of them doesn't require any real pu'ula commitment from him. That's the Shomer Chinam. The Shomer Chinam could discharge his chi of Shmira without any activity on his behalf. The Shomer Sachar has like this chi of haguf almost, right? He has to be more active. It's a more comprehensive obligation. So that makes him more like a poel. It's almost like an internal question within Poel about how active versus passive you ought to be in order to register for the special heter of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, right? How Eved-like is your Pu'ula? And so he says, we could distinguish internally, exactly as Gabe said, a Shomer Chinam has no right to withdraw. Why? Let me say a little more. He's explicit that he's working within the Pu'ula paradigm because he says, "Afilu nema de shomer chinam misha shehiska b'mlachto nishtabed lishmor ad oso zman." So he buys into the aschalas hamalacha argument that exactly as the Ktzos says that that's a rule for poalim, it should apply to the shomer. But But he also characterizes the Shomer as someone who's nishtabed lishmor, which is not the way the Ksos characterizes it. Right? If you go back to the Ksos, it was just a kinyan lehischai ba'onsin. Aval shmira is just a chiyuv v'shibud sheyischai v'lishalim. So the Machane Ephraim is diametrically opposed on that front. Still, he's different from a Shomer Safar. Why? Because a Shomer Chinam doesn't have Eved-like qualities. Lo dami le'eved, sh'ra'a Shomer Chinam kol she'iniach ha'chefet b'makom ha'mishtamer su'la rami alei midi le'tabo v'pikadam. He could guard it passively. So that takes away his Eved status, which is just a chiddush in Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. Aval Shomer Safar ditzarech le'mesa b'hada b'hada v'lem ture yimama v'leili Moshe Kasev Atur. He's almost like working harder than a poel, which is really fascinating. I wonder if is he overstating the Shomer Sachar, right? Like, if you're paying somebody as a Shomer Sachar, does it automatically follow that he's got this really intense Chiyuv Shmira, like to sit near it day and night? The Ktos clearly thought that, like, maybe there's no Chiyuv Shmira at all, which is pretty wild. But the Machane Ephraim cuts in the exact opposite direction and says there's this almost extraordinarily burdensome Chiyuv Shmira, right? To like not let the thing out of your sight altogether. Locking it in a safe is insufficient, it sounds like. Okay, Noah, you have a hand on this.
Yeah, we were wondering if there was sort of like an echo to this distinction that the Machane Ephraim is making in the machlokas about what the haschalas hamalacha is for the shomrim, where like the Ramban, the like Tosfos and the Rosh say it's from the time that the bialim stops during the shmira, so like that might work better with the like active shmira kind of type of job, and the Ramban thinks that the haschalas malacha is like misha yimshoch lirshuso. And like that's why he thinks that the Mashiach is the Haschalas HaMalacha. So that could fit more with like the passive Shmira.
Yeah, you're saying the Haschalas HaMalacha, let's buy the paradigm that Shomer is like a Poel by Haschalas HaMalacha. Let's just focus on the Ketzos' internal distinction, on the Machane Ephraim's internal distinction between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. This fundamental distinction between active and passive Shmira. Maybe that's correlated to how we're going to define Haschalas HaMalacha. Is that right, Noah?
Yeah,
I think that's a very nice suggestion. Totally. Like, does the Malacha itself presuppose some activity of the Shomer? Right, yeah, I think that's really good. So we're going to talk more about that when we talk about what is Haschalas HaMalacha for the Shomerim. For here, for these purposes, I think it's just important to document the core disagreement between the Machane Ephraim and the Ksos. The Machane Ephraim is like clearly focusing on the primary duties, the Ksos just on the Achrayas Tashlumin. And then they both have these internal distinctions. The Ksos has the internal distinction between the property-like Shomrim, the Socher and the Shoel, where there it's sensible to talk about a Kinyan on the Chepetz. The Machane Ephraim has this internal distinction between Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar about how burdensome or how active is the Shomer's Chiyuv Shmira. Okay, everyone good with this summary so far? Gabe, you have a hand?
Yeah, just one technical question. Does Machane Ephraim accept the Nimukei Yosef's Chiluk? He's not addressing Shoel and Sofer at all, so does that mean he assumes they're not falling?
Say it again, but this Yosef that he quotes?
Yeah, so he's working he's assuming that a socher and a shoel would not constitute poalim and wouldn't have his chus chazar.
Ah, so you're saying that you think that forces the issue. So where is that? That's a little later on, right?
It's just narrowing the scope of his discussion.
You're saying that Shoel and Socher would never qualify as Poalim? that your idea?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is to say, and then I guess like at least my second point, which is I don't think like having a duty sort of is equal to being a polo, right? A polo isn't defined by somebody who has a duty towards something, right? As we discussed last year, it's about the holistic shibu that you have toward the employer, and just the duty for shmira, which the ksos seems to avoid, but you don't need to go as far as the ksos to make somebody not a polo.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I want to say this, Gabe, in response. So first of all, on the view that a socher is a shomer sachar, right? Isn't it kind of strange to say that the shomer sachar has a chiyuv shmira as a poel, but the sachar who has the same liability rules is not considered to be a poel? That's fine. I mean, it's okay if that's the result.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a surprising result at all. I think it's just a question of what is the focus of the contract, and what is the nature of the contract. So when you agree to be a shomer sachar, the shmira is the focus of the agreement, right? Those are the terms of the agreement. When you agree to,
well, that's what I'm not sure about. I agree that there may be some shomrei sachar who function that way, right? Like the guy you pay to watch your stuff. But like, what about the person who's just like considered to be a shomer sachar because of like pruta durabiosi, right? Like, or the mashkon, the malva al mashkon, who's considered to be a shomer sachar just because he gets some benefit from holding on to the thing, right? So, would you say that those shomer sachar are not considered kohalim?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would wonder about that.
Right. I mean, my issue with the way you're putting it, Gabe, is that what you're making it seem is that like the poel aspect of a shomer sachar is almost incidental to the shomer sachar description. It just flows from like the particular cases where you're hired as a poel to watch something, as opposed to saying that the default or the description of being a shomer sachar is that you have a chiyuv as a poel lishmar. Like, it's not the liabilities of being a shomer sachar that make you a poel, but rather it's like the separate expectations of like this particular arrangement which made you a shomer sachar that also made you a poel.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with that. And I think the counterexamples that you're suggesting are extensions of the paradigm of shomer sachar. We don't need to use those to characterize what a shomer sachar is. I think, generally speaking, we could make some kind of a paradigmatic case, which is where the primary term or the primary reason you're hiring the shomer sachar is to be shomer.
Yeah. This is a very interesting point that we have to keep our eyes open for this as we move forward. See, I think a lot of achronim, and Rofam Tzin Shiurim included, just presume that a shomer sachar is like the guy who's like the paid watchman who's like tasked with keeping an eye on your stuff. And then there's the sense also that like the same for like a shomer chinam is like the guy who you ask to like keep an eye on it, as if like the shomer component is the shomer rules are primarily driven by these requests to watch things, right? Yeah, I think it's the standard. It's kind of a standard view. So yeah, I wonder. It's like a poel agency kind of like sugya. This relationship that you hired the guy to do this task. My sense, and I could be wrong, but I want to keep our eyes open for this, is that shomrim work more almost as property rules. So you pick up an aveda, right? What are the duties and liabilities and responsibilities that you have? So to move away from the paradigm of like the guy who's hired to be a watchman to just like, how do we split up the incidence of ownership when it's not your thing, but you're deriving benefit, right? Oh, that makes you a shomer sachar. So it's much more property rule motivated rather than POEL task hired for a function driven. You see that, Gabe? And that's something I want to keep our eyes open for, right? So I think it's very natural for us to say like, oh, Shomer Sachar is like that. Like he's the paid watchman, as opposed to somebody who has an interest in a thing and also gets some benefit slash compensation for it. You see that, Gabe? Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely see that, and I'll keep my eyes open for it. I wonder if you could have put those cases in the Silfair category. Silfair is somebody whose primary motivation for having this object is their own benefit or a show-all. And then in addition, they return, they sort of in exchange that they offer some kind of shmira benefit.
Right, but Hagufa, I think the fact that a socher has the same liability rules as a shomer sachar, right, could show that maybe the socher is really like the paradigm of the shomer sachar, right? Meaning you're assuming that there's like the shomer sachar is the paradigm of the shomer sachar, rather than the socher type or the mashkon type relationship. And I'm just saying, well, no. Maybe the reason why a shomer sachar is a shomer sachar is because he has similar function, similar benefits like that the socher has or that the bala mashkon has.
Yeah, interesting. Well, then you blurred our categories. I'd rather sort of think of those as two separate paradigms and find ways to explain why they happen to land at the same level of achayus.
Yeah, well, but that's exactly what we want to keep our eyes open for. I agree. Yeah, I think we shouldn't prejudge that question. Okay, so for next Habura, if you didn't have a chance yet, I'll email this around to read the Kilos Yaakov in Simon Lamiches. I mentioned on the source sheet, I downloaded it from Otsar Chachma. I'll just email it around. So it's a really nice, clean piece where he just lays out Nafgamina for this Achrayus paradigm and Chiyuv Shmira paradigm, Poshea Kemazik paradigm. So read this short Kilos Yaakov, very worthwhile reading. And then I want to move into the standard of Shmira question, the Natre Kedinatri Intri Sugya, which we have on the source sheet here on Sadi Gimel Amid Aleph to Amid Beis. And you'll see I added, there's some Mishnayos from earlier in the Perek to nail down like the, just what is the standard of Shmira? When are you considered Poshea? Is a Shomer Sachar held to a higher standard of Shmira than a Shomer Chinam? Those questions. All right? Shkayach. Everyone have a good
time. Can you answer the question that I texted you yesterday?
Which question? Oh, about quoting me?
No. With your answering? Oh, I'm about to text you the same thing.